Yesterday, I had an opportunity to visit with the fifth grade from Dillingham Elementary. I was able to visit with them as three separate groups, spaced out over the course of the afternoon. You see, they were participating in an event put on by the UAF Bristol Bay campus called Kids to College. They visited not just with me, but with a few other employers around town about jobs with those employers and what kind of education is required for those jobs. In the case of their visit with me, I spent time sharing with them about the many aspects to my job, as well as other jobs with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. To change things up just a bit, I had them come to our hangar out at the airport, rather than our office downtown. I set up a projector attached to my laptop to provide photographic support for the things that I talked about. For seating, I aired up one of our larger inflatable rafts and had the kids sit on the pontoons. Overall, it seemed like things went well. I am hopeful that there were things they were able to learn, and maybe even a few that came away thinking that, well, working for the service seemed like a pretty good gig. I know I think that, but I'm probably a bit biased. Beyond visiting with a bunch of fifth graders, I've actually fielded a number of questions from folks lately about working for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, both here in Dillingham and from people outside the area. That's certainly something I know a little something about. In fact, as hard as it is for me to believe, I'm now just 1 month away from having worked for Togiak Refuge for one whole decade. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. In starting out today, let's go with this first. Let's be clear about who it is I work for, because even after all these years, we still get folks who don't quite understand who we are, and they get us mixed up with similar agencies. Under the President of the United States, and within the executive branch of the federal government, there are 15 departments, such as the Department of Transportation and the Department of Education. One of those is the Department of the Interior. The secretary, or head of that department, is a man named Ryan Zinke, a former congressman from Montana. He is a recent appointee of the new administration. Secretary Zinke oversees a number of agencies tied to our country's natural resources. One of those agencies is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. That's who I work for. If we break it down one step further, we'd get to the National Wildlife Refuge System, which is managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The refuge system is a network of public lands and waters specifically set aside to conserve fish, wildlife, and plants. The refuge system got started by President Theodore Roosevelt back in 1903 and has grown to a current total of 566 refuges spread across the United States and its territories. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is organized into 9 regions across the United States. Alaska, due to its immense size and the unique nature of the land and wildlife diversity found here, is one region unto itself, Region 7. Within Region 7, there are 16 National Wildlife Refuges. Togiak Refuge is one of those 16. Togiak Refuge is where I clock in, so to speak, each day. When I have opportunities to share about working for the service referring to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, I do so while pointing out that my own experiences are somewhat limited. Yes, I'm coming up quickly on 10 years with the service, but the service is a very, very large entity, and I have only ever worked for one small branch of it, Togiak Refuge. One of the things that surprised me in coming to work for the service is the diversity of jobs that are available. I shared about that with the fifth grade yesterday. Honestly, it seems to me that no matter what a person's interest might be, you can probably find something tied to that interest with the service. Some of those job types might be in high demand due to a limited number of positions, and there are some jobs found in greater numbers than others. But I do think that you could find just about anything you'd want to do somewhere within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Locally, right here in Dillingham and serving southwest Alaska, Togiak Refuge has a current staff that consists of a refuge manager, a deputy manager, a pilot, a maintenance supervisor, 4 biologists, one of whom happens to be our pilot, an administrative support person, an interpreter, a visitor services manager, a soon-to-be new law enforcement officer, a couple of refuge information technicians, and one education specialist, me. In addition, we also have a number of summer hires to staff various needs. Those summer positions might be paid for by us, or they might be paid by other organizations, such as BBEDC or BBNA, and then placed with us. I've got to confess that I'm not sure who or how many we have coming on for this summer, though all positions are likely filled, and folks will begin to trickle into Dillingham, if they're coming from the outside, sometime at the end of next month. I get at least one opportunity annually to share about jobs with the service. That chance comes at the job fair that's held each year at the Dillingham High School and put on by BBEDC. A number of years ago, in advance of that event, I hit up my colleagues to have some additional information to share with students about service jobs. Even within our office here, there is a diversity of positions and, as you might guess, a diverse number of skills, education, and experiences needed to fill those jobs with the right people. Two particular positions that receive a lot of attention are biologists and pilot positions. The biology positions are easy to understand. We are the Fish and Wildlife Service, so it makes sense we'd have a fair number of folks trained to study and work with fish and wildlife. I have to confess, when I first started working for the service, my perception of it was that it'd be a lot heavier on biology positions than it actually is. Make no mistake, the service hires a lot of biologists, but it's not anywhere near the overall percentage I would have guessed. And pilot positions? Well, it is, I think, to many people a glamour position. Flying small aircraft in the name of studying wildlife. Biologists are the ones that actually get out there and deal with the wildlife firsthand. Others may have a role at times, but this is what their jobs are all about. For example, March of this year was a huge month for our biologist in terms of collaring caribou, moose, and wolves. I've seen the photos of the work they do. It looks like fun. So, what does it take to be a biologist? Well, for education, at a bare minimum, a bachelor's degree is required for a position as a federal fish or wildlife biologist. Competition is often very high for existing positions. Advanced degrees, such as a master's or PhD, are useful in refining skills that will make a person a far more competitive candidate. Also, there can be special skills. Top-notch reading, writing, math, and communication skills are all a must. General field skills, such as camping, navigation with a GPS or map, and compass are also important. Increasingly, computer skills for specific software, such as Excel, Access, or GIS, is critical. So it's a lot of work and a lot of trouble. Why exactly does this job rock? Well, one of the best parts is the ability to work directly with wildlife through things like capture, counting, and radio tracking, and also to work directly with people, such as hunters and anglers, in the communities, and the diversity of projects that they often get to immerse themselves in. Also, it's great to work outdoors and in wild areas, and to have the opportunity to understand the ecological relationships amongst plants, animals, and their environment. So the other position I get asked about a lot, being a pilot. What's it take to be a pilot for the service? With regards to education, no college degree is required to be certified as a Fish and Wildlife Service pilot. The minimum training required for a service pilot is a commercial pilot certificate and an instrument flight rating, which allows flight in instrument flight conditions and demonstrates increased pilot proficiency. Also, many service pilots have additional special trainings and certifications, such as to fly with floats and skis, that augment their regular flight training. There can be special skills required and ongoing trainings as well. Because of the specialized nature of flying that's involved and the places that these pilots fly, service pilots receive initial and recurring trainings for many things such as instrument flying, flying on skis and floats, flying at low levels while counting animals, and training that helps avoid getting into spins. Pilots also attend a week-long ground school every 24 months to review topics such as new regulations, aircraft maintenance issues, and classroom training requirements. In all, it's a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of hoops to jump through to be able to be a pilot for the service. So, why go through all that? There are very few flying jobs anywhere that provide the diversity experienced by service pilots. During any given week, a pilot may experience flying staff members to a village meeting, counting animals such as moose or caribou, and hauling supplies and staff to a remote gravel bar or lake to set up a camp to collect scientific information. The opportunities for such a wide variety of flying, often in highly remote settings, make the job of a service pilot extremely satisfying for those who gain those positions. As I said, there are many different types of jobs to be had within the service. I won't sugarcoat it. Many of them are in very high demand, and competition can be stiff. But that doesn't mean they're unattainable. Working for the service may require some degree of sacrifice on your part while you try to gain a foothold, but I've yet to meet anyone in the service who didn't think that it was worth it. If you have an interest in working for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, I would urge you to speak with someone who's doing what it is you think you'd like to do. Over the course of any given year, I have a number of opportunities to visit with folks about just that. Also, something else I'd toss out. It's never too late. I'm coming up on 10 years with Togiak Refuge. I just turned 50. Simple mental math will tell you that I signed on at the tender age of 40, and I'm sure there are others who have started even later. As with many things in life, doors can open, but you have to be on the lookout for those doors to find them. One of the biggest, strongest pieces of advice I gave yesterday, and will continue to give in the future, pick something you enjoy for your life's work, no matter what that might be. You'll be a happier person, living a happier life for it. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.